The Heavy Duty Parts Report is brought to you by Find It Parts, your ultimate destination for heavy duty truck and trailer parts. Discover a vast range of parts at finditparts.com. Ready to purchase the parts discussed in today's episode? Head over to finditparts.com and get them right away. You're listening to the Heavy Duty Parts Report. I'm your host, Jamie Irvin, and this is the podcast where you will get expert advice about the heavy duty parts that you buy and get informed about what's going on in the industry. This episode is sponsored by Zerk.work. If you are a mobile heavy-duty mechanic, go to Zerk.work. In this episode, we're going to discuss the shortage of skilled workers in the heavy-duty trucking industry. And to help us with that, I'd like to introduce you to Cale Campbell, president of Red Seal Recruiting Solutions. Cale's been a recruiter, talent manager for nearly 16 years and is an expert in manufacturing, mining, utility, and construction talent. Cale, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Jamie. Thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
To get started, I'd like to ask you my first question, which is there a shortage of skilled workers in industries like the heavy-duty truck and parts industry?
Yes, for sure. It's from the direct dealerships through to the service people to parts people. You know, we hear it almost daily of companies that actually want to hire out of the industry and companies and who want to grow their team and hire to their businesses as well. So it's kind of a perfect storm right now of people want to hire away from the industry into their industry, whether it's agriculture or mining, and then companies really want to grow or maintain their business. It's quite difficult. We're in the middle of summer and people want a little bit of time off in this heat and get away with their families. And it's tough. You don't want to leave a shop or clients unattended, but it's hard to get that extra coverage for summer holidays.
And what's causing the shortage primarily?
So my father is a baby boomer and he's, you know, just moving out of his, you know, full working career. And, you know, on the heavy duty side and the parts side, it's physical work, you know, and some people are in amazing shape and are going to be turning wrenches and, you know, being great parts managers and parts people well into their 70s. But a lot of people may have difficulties, you know, in their 60s. Other health problems come up, you know, even if you're good physically. There's neurological stuff that comes up. So there's definitely baby boomers who are going to be forced to retire because a lot of people really love their work. You know, they love this industry and they'll want to keep working, but some are going to be forced to retire and some, you know, are going to want to retire because they want to spend more time with their family and stuff. So you've got this baby boomer perfect storm. And then we've also got some boom and bust echo of, you know, we're on a kind of 10-year run with the economy. Not everybody's felt the positive stuff of it, but a lot of companies really slashed their apprenticeship program, didn't hire a lot of parts people, 10 years ago. So those good kind of 4, 6, 8, 10-year people that would have been there, or even the 14-year people, if you experienced some layoff back 10 years ago, might have moved out of the industry. So there's this age demographic and also that middle demographic where you hope to have some pretty good experienced people coming. They might have got hit during that last downturn that we had. And, you know, if you experience layoff, you probably aren't going to stay in an industry. So that was a troublesome time. I know a lot of companies that cut their apprenticeship programs 10 years ago. And, you know, then you've got that gap of that four years before you started up again, right? So that's a big issue. And, you know, everybody's struggling in every industry. So there's a lot of competition, even though it may sound and look like a good career for people. I was talking to a great mechanic. He's working at a marine shipyard. I said, "Oh, why did you leave your dealership?" And he said, "Oh, well, I'm super interested. These are all machines, and you know they're very similar. So you've got all these forces kind of working to pull people away as we're trying to attract people to the industry at the same time."
Okay, so let's explore those two sides of the issue. So first of all, I've done some research on this, and the indication is that around 2020, we're going over what they're calling the baby boomer demographic cliff, which just means that there's more people exiting the workforce than there are to replace them. People our age, there's not enough of us to replace the baby boomers, even if every one of us was fully employed. And so this creates a real problem. Estimates are something like 25% of the workforce is going to exit very, very soon with nobody to replace them. Now, is that kind of ringing true with what you're experiencing on the recruiting side?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be part of the mix. But one of the things, early in my career, I did an analysis of who retires early. And sometimes those studies include people who are 60 and might retire early. And I found that people didn't retire early. They really like that social aspect and stuff. But, you know, once you get to a certain age, you can't work. So if that really is that cliff of that meets with your physical issues that you have, or an employer that says, you know, I don't want people to work past 65, or I don't want to promote people at that, you know, they're not actively pushing people out the door, but they might not be supporting them as much as they need. It will be a cliff for some employers, where there's going to be some employers who are going to do things to keep them around, you know, whether it's a shortened work week or putting them in a bit more of senior and advisor roles, but not everybody's going to be suited for that. So that, you know, that demographic shift is going to really happen. And, you know, we've got some employers who say, oh, you know, I don't really want to hire somebody in their, you know, 60s because, you know, I want somebody to work the next, you know, 5 or 10 years. And, you know, they're being a little bit short-sighted because a lot of employees don't even last that long. But if you can get kind of 5 good years out of somebody, just knowing that there's a lot of people moving into that twilight of the years, you might as well take it. So, yeah, I mean, I think there is going to be a real pinch, and forward-looking companies are trying to think down the road. They're thinking of branding to younger people to hope that, you know, even if you don't hire somebody today, they may make the switch to your industry or to your company in 5 to 10 years when it really hits.
Well, that's interesting because the research I've done also indicates that by 2030, the millennials, where there's far more millennials than the generation between baby boomers and millennials, there will be enough people then to fill in the tax contribution gap that we're going to see with so many baby boomers leaving, not enough people to replace them. So it sounds to me like the next 10 years are going to be very dynamic. This probably presents opportunities though, because with decline in certain areas, there's always opportunities somewhere else. From your perspective, what opportunity does this situation create for an individual like a heavy-duty mechanic, parts person, or truck driver?
I was meeting with a client yesterday, and they were looking for a superintendent, right? So there's really going to be those opportunities for the coaching roles, whether it's, you know, coaching apprentices or leading teams, right? So most employers are going to recognize that, you know, you're not going to have, you know, if you've got a fleet of, you know, 100 trucks, 120 trucks or more, you're not going to have enough really experienced senior mechanics to just handle it, right? But if you're a good communicator, you might have, you know, one junior mechanic who's got that 4 to 5 years experience, and then two really switched on young people, right? So getting the skills and wanting the skills to lead a team is going to be key, right? Because if you can lead a team of 4 to 5 and you enjoy that, you could then kind of grow that and become a service manager. And being a good communicator, even if you're not ready to lead a team, you're a super valuable team member if you can be that knowledge resource when it comes to really troubleshooting some turbos or, you know, understanding, you know, the intricacies of a great part system, right? So I think one of the keys is going to be becoming a great communicator, not just that you're spitting out knowledge, but you're learning from the junior people as well, because there's systems coming online. I'm just learning about Instagram, and it's a huge platform that people are using to communicate, you know, whether it's being used effectively in the industry, I don't know, but there is a lot of technology that, you know, 10 years ago we weren't aware of, but just being aware of the technology that's going to come in and really help, you know, either diagnose or help speed up and make the jobs easier for the fewer number of people that there may be as we get into a real labor crunch.
You're listening to the Heavy Duty Parts Report. I'm your host, Jamie Irvin, and we've been speaking with Cale Campbell, president of Red Seal Recruiting Solutions. Now, Cale, what is the impact of this shortage of skilled workers on the companies that employ people? What are they experiencing?
It's very interesting from, you know, the service manager level all the way up to, you know, the presidents and really the guys who are turning wrenches and the women who are, you know, doing the parts inventory and the teams at that level, it's affecting everybody. So, you know, we're right in the middle of summer and I'm like, okay, I've got a long weekend coming up. I really want to take my camper and get to the ocean with my family and just enjoy it. Yet people are really stressed about, you know, filling vacancies that they've got because they want to give people time off, right? So it's a huge issue for any company that, or even anybody who's trying to service a client group, whether it's internal clients or a group of external clients, that, you know, you really are going to have a hard time when there's any increase in business or increase in maintenance that needs to happen, or if you want to bring on new clients, right? So I think it's going to be the number one issues for most large companies. And, you know, if you're looking at growing your business, either opening a new dealership in another town or building a new shop and adding bays, it's a huge issue. And, you know, we hear from companies that have lost a lot of their mechanics because, you know, a brand new shop has opened up. They've got great bays, great heating and air conditioning. You know, it is a little bit rare, but really having an environment that really works for the mechanics, you know, making sure that they're supplying, you know, some really top-notch facilities for them to work on. So it's a good environment for them physically, but also they want to work there. And if you're kind of caught behind the eight ball, you know, you're down 2 to 3 mechanics and your customers are waiting, you know, if they're being well serviced or they're turning to somewhere else if they can't, you know, get scheduled for service. So a lot of companies I'm recommending that you're really using your service managers to schedule and set expectations because, you know, you might not get the work done right away. And, you know, that's a huge issue. But if you're picking up the phone and saying, I don't know when, you'll lose a customer for life. You know, like I can't get to, you know, you're trying to put in your parts order on a Friday afternoon. And if the phone's not being answered, that's a huge issue. But if they can actually take down the order and say, listen, I'll call you back on Monday, that sets expectations. If you can really kind of queue up. So people will wait for their coffee. People will sometimes wait for the service on their rig or their equipment or the parts, but they want to give that order just so it's off their stress list. And you know, CEOs and small business owners, they really got to think about, okay, how I'm going to service customers with less people and really taking the orders and communicating when you're going to be able to deliver that service is super important. And they're going to have to use some technology and good communicators to make sure that clients know, yes, I'm not going to leave you out in the lurch. I will deal with you on Thursday, because that'll stop them hopefully from picking up the phone and switching to another client or another service provider, because most service providers are going to be in the same situation. They're not going to have, you know, a bay open ready to take in or a service truck ready to go. But they're really going to have to say, okay, I really want to service you. It's just going to be at this point. And I think that's an important thing that all businesses have to do, but especially in, you know, the heavy duty parts and heavy duty service, you really got to set expectations and be responsive and, you know, maybe have more people answering the phones while you wait to free up people. And also just adjusting your skill level, right? And, you know, you really shouldn't be having, you know, a senior guy doing oil changes, right? I mean, you really got to have some of that routine preventative maintenance being trained up with some lube technicians or some junior mechanics, and making sure that the senior techs are really freed up and being rewarded for that difficult job as well. You know, that's something I've seen happen in the automotive industry, all the really tough jobs that take a long time, which really affect compensation in that industry, are going to the senior guys. And they're kind of getting frustrated, but you still got to make sure that you're compensating those senior guys and making sure that, you know, that technical person, he really wants to come in and put in that extra effort and not just be given the hard jobs day in, day out, and not being shown any real respect or increased appreciation, whether it's financially or verbally in recognition.
Okay, so let's break that down a little bit. So on the human resources side, on the people side, what solutions are you seeing that's working?
Cummins has definitely done some interesting things where, you know, they're really proactively going out and getting junior people. And they've targeted, I believe, about four segments. So military, you know, with technical experience, junior people who might want to go to college, you know, and become a mechanical engineer, but, you know, just really haven't explored, the diesel side of things. And then also, you know, some top shop graduates, you know, who might be interested in tech. You know, they're really trying to go after people proactively and target them, and then also map out different areas where they're going to go. For some people, you know, getting into the parts department and working and servicing at a counter is where they want to be. But other people want to say, okay, where can I take my career with this company in 5 to 10 years? And what Cummins is doing is they're making sure that training program they're going in also really focuses on where they can go with the company later on. So they're giving them the communication skills, the computer skills, and the learning foundation so they can go on and get an associate's degree, where a lot of companies are like, oh, you're a mechanic, you're a parts person, and, you know, maybe you'll get a supervisory job. And, you know, that is a great opportunity for some people, but some people may say, okay, where do I want to be in 15 or 20 years? I want to be a branch manager. And I haven't heard how I could ever do that. And, you know, I know Jamie's kind of next in line for that. So I'm going to leave, right? Or leave the industry because I hear there's better opportunity in tech. And it's good. They've really built a vision that people can move into engineering, or they can move into management, or they can move into, you know, really good support roles after they, you know, complete their apprenticeship, whether it's as a parts person or a heavy duty mechanic. So I think that's really important is saying, you know, where do you want to go as a new employee? And can we do the things to support you to get you there? And, you know, supporting somebody in a college course is, you know, it seems expensive for an employer, but, you know, somebody who wants to learn and be a part of your company is much better than somebody who's disengaged and, you know, leaving 15 minutes early or spending time on their phone. So I think making those companies that are making the investment in their employees and saying, hey, we do want a place for you long term, and here are some paths that can help you get there.
Have you seen anybody taking advantage of technology in innovative ways?
Yeah, I really haven't spent a ton of time on it. I've got a good friend who's got some good hard hat technology with heads up displays that really can tie into your iPad. I know that Microsoft and I want to say Caterpillar were doing some work together, but don't quote me on that, because your access to information can be super critical out in the field, and you know it's amazing what can happen, and you can't expect it to fix everything right away. But I definitely think there are companies that are using a lot more technology to help on the maintenance and inventory front. I'm not an expert on the high tech side, but you just look at the work John Deere is doing, and you know they're really focused on technology and bringing in both, I believe, satellite and high frequency cellular data to help farmers really plant the right stuff at the right time in the right amounts. And it comes down to if they're doing an extra pass on a, you know, 100-acre or a huge field, you know, that's a lot of extra diesel and wear and tear on a combine. And they're making sure that it's super efficient and they're not overlapping and double fertilizing. So really using technology that really needs to be either fixed by a heavy duty mechanic and those parts, you know, you're not looking at as many gears and as many implements. You might be looking at more high tech upgrades that really help the end client. And yeah, it's an interesting challenge because it used to be, you know, we just wanted somebody who could do onboard diagnostics, but you're getting a lot more technical on your diagnostics because you're dealing with technology that, you know, we didn't see 10 years ago. You know, a self-driving Tesla is, you know, it's here, and there's self-driving tractors, and you know we're getting into you know both some as automated trucking is going to be a huge change in what we're going to see and need to repair. So it's going to be a very interesting kind of 5 years as technology really gets rolled out on the road in heavier equipment and heavier trucks.
What is the key point you want listeners to take away from today's conversation?
I definitely say don't kind of rest on your laurels. So keep on looking, listening to podcasts and building networks and finding out what's happening, and you know, be interested, right? So if you're interviewing somebody who's doing some really innovative stuff on automation and trucking, and you know somebody hears about that on your podcast, you know, try and connect with them on LinkedIn, you know, or find somebody locally who's kind of in that space and learn from them, because it might not be that you need that for your job today, but you never know, 3 months from now, a customer might come in, or, you know, the dealership might stop by and say, hey, this is what we're thinking about rolling out. And you say, oh, you know, I'm super interested in that. And, you know, I've done this research. I'd love to know more. And really that excitement and people who want to be on the cutting edge, I think is important, because, you know, a lot of people have a lot to do and there's a lot of information coming at them. But if there's things that spark your interest, you know, dig deeper, you know, definitely, you know, write it down and follow up on a Saturday, follow up on your lunchtime, and, you know, get that phone up in front of you and don't just Google what, you know, what the sports scores are going to be or who's making a trade in the off season. You know, try and keep, you know, a certain percentage of your off time focused on growing your knowledge and your network in your career, right? So you're learning technical stuff, but also building your network. I think that's super important as we move forward.
You've been listening to the Heavy Duty Parts Report. I'm your host, Jamie Irvin, and we've been speaking with Cale Campbell, president of Red Seal Recruiting Solutions. To learn more about Red Seal Recruiting Solutions, go to redsealrecruiting.com. Links are in the show notes. Cale, thank you for being on the podcast.
Super appreciated, Jamie. The work you're doing is super valuable for the industry, and it's great to get your updates as you roll out podcasts, and thanks for doing it.
Have you subscribed to the podcast yet? Go to heavydutypartsreport.com to listen to and subscribe to the podcast. And remember to focus on cost per mile over purchase price, and let's keep those trucks and trailers rolling. HDA Truck Pride is the heart of the independent parts and service channel. They have 750 parts stores and 450 service centers conveniently located across the U.S. and Canada. Visit heavydutypartsreport.com/HDA Truck Pride today to find a location near you. Again, that's heavydutypartsreport.com/HDA Truck Pride, and let the heart of the independent service channel take care of your commercial equipment.